Grace and peace from our God and Father, hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the consolation of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children all over the world.
The first reading is from Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 95 responsively. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods.
In your hands are the gathers of the earth, the heights of the hills are also yours.
The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. The second reading is from Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Word of God, word of light.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and for his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Do you ever pick up the San Diego Reader? It's that free news magazine that is out on the street corners and in some restaurants and such. There's I like to look at it for one column. There's, along with all the restaurant reviews and movie reviews and reviews of what's going on in the city, there's also a review of a church. Every week there's a column called Sheep and Goats. St. Peter's has been reviewed in this magazine a couple times. And, of course, we got high marks, especially for the food on the fellowship time. The writer of this column always ends his articles with the same question. He asks the person that he's interviewing, usually the pastor or some member of the church, and he asks this question: what happens when we die? For many people, that is the ultimate question. But there are other questions that hold meaning for us too. Like, how do we get to heaven when we die? And what are we doing here now? When we look for the answers, as Garrison Keillor says, to life's persistent questions, how we understand the question is very important. How we understand what the question is, really matters. Today we're celebrating the feast of Christ the King. This is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. This is next Sunday we move into the season of Advent. And on this Sunday, the question is put to us, what does it mean to call Christ our King? In our Sunday morning Bible study, we just finished a book called Mercy and Manna, written by Dan Erlander. His teaching is very simple and yet profound. And when he was teaching about the significance of calling Jesus Lord or King, he writes that the powers in the Roman Empire were very threatened by this. By saying Jesus is Lord, the believers are denying that Caesar is Lord. They're denying that the Roman Empire is the savior of humanity and the bringer of the golden age of peace. In first century Palestine and in the generations that followed, to honor Jesus as king was certainly countercultural and dangerous. Persecution followed for anyone who would dare to say that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King. To tell you the truth, I like to avoid danger. I would like to be able to look at this scripture that we've just read and say that it really isn't about judgment, but that wouldn't be true to the text, nor true to our call to look danger in the face and to respond. There's an answer in this text. The answer is that Jesus singles out and rewards those who have acted with compassion, those who have served any who are in need or are despised or are alone. But what's the question? We know what the answer is, but what's the question? Is this lesson about believing in God so that you can go to heaven when you die? There are some Christian communities that talk of little else, although little is said in the Bible about heaven or hell. Some congregations, this is the sole focus of their attention. There's great interest in the rapture, in the end of the world, in who might be or might not be left behind. But that is not the central message of the Bible. The question that Jesus is answering here is not what happens when you die. Sorry, San Diego reader. The focus question of this text is not how do I get, am I getting to heaven? Or am I a sheep or a goat? Or even as Martin Luther so often prayed, will I find a merciful God? This lesson from Matthew's gospel would have us ask a different question. But I think most of us sitting here today are more concerned about the end of the month than we are about the end of the world. As Desmond Tutu said, what most people are looking for is not pie in the sky, but pie right here and now. We are looking today for strength for this journey, for a spiritual sustenance that will give us enough energy to get through whatever awaits us tomorrow and at the end of the week. So maybe the question is not what happens at the end of time, what happens at the end of all things, but more, what am I supposed to be doing right now? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to be? If indeed Jesus is King, what difference does that make in my life? This isn't first century Rome or some country ruled by a non-Christian dictator, no one in San Diego is threatened with imprisonment or torture when we say Jesus is king. But the conflict over who is the Lord and King is still acted out today. The world still wants us to worship all that is not God, and the culture rewards us when we do. But it is so clear in the life of Jesus that there must be a separation between the two kingdoms, the one of the world and the one of Jesus Christ. The usual things that people elevate to kingly status, wealth, power, fame, these things are completely overshadowed by the real king's values of compassion, of service, of love, and faithful community. Christ, who is our king, knows the poor and the oppressed and the imprisoned. Our king is not far away and apart from us. Our king, Jesus Christ, is with us right here, right now, in the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the stranger, the sick, the imprisoned, the alienated, the lonely. And we have an opportunity to do something about that. We have an opportunity to give thanks for that wonder in our lives, the wonder that Jesus Christ is present right here. And we do that not just on Sunday mornings in our prayer, when we consciously think about the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. We have the opportunity to give thanks for this wonder of Jesus present right here, right now, in our helping the poor ourselves, in being partners with Jesus' special concern for all those who are hungry or ill. We have the opportunity to act in ways that honor the unconditional, the profound love of Jesus Christ. In baptism, we have become tied to one another through Jesus. We have become part of his life and death and resurrection. And this is both a call and a gift. It's a duty and a joy to work hand in hand with the least of these. We are tied together to the King and to the people who belong to the King, to all of God's people. We know the answer to the question, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. That's the answer. The question is not, what happens when we die? The question is, what are we doing right now? I came across this contemporary Franciscan blessing recently, and we'll end with this. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. Amen.